This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live in Arlington at Shakerton's off of North Collins. Now, I know the show's wrapping up in about an hour, but the delicious drink specials keep going. The pool table will still be here if you want to come on out. And now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Yeah, I've been looking up, Kevin, at the wall here. They got Tuesday tequilas and tacos. And I know they got karaoke out here, too. So be prepared if you like. It is karaoke, 8 p.m. every Thursday night. So sounds like tonight.
That's tonight.
Yeah, out here. So, again, show up a little later if you want to. Roll all the way into karaoke and enjoy some Sagamore Spirit Rye whiskey.
Let me ask you a question. Tomorrow, it was going to be the combo platter National Hoagie Day. It could still be that. Or do you want to change it to the combo platter karaoke? Sports opinion, and what is your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, my gosh.
You kind of want that, don't you?
I kind of do because...
Okay, you heard Alec.
When I was running I ran a bar off McKinney Avenue for a long time, and every Friday night we had karaoke.
All right.
And Adrian was a key feature. Every Friday night she would do Baby Got Back. And the whole place would go nuts because she didn't look at she just walked around on the stage acting like she knew. It was awesome. It was awesome. So, yeah, I'm totally down for that, Kevin.
All right.
I have a song, but
I'm making the adjustment.
All right. By the way, I did just watch the video on Twitter of Jon Bon Jovi talking a potential jumper off of the bridge in Nashville.
That's wild.
And it is, again, I don't know how to explain this other than he's just walking. And he's walking with somebody, sees this person standing on the other side of the railing, and just walks up quietly, leans over, and they start talking. And then the next thing you know, he's helping that person back over to the other side. And that is an absolutely incredible sight to see. It's pretty amazing. If you get a chance to see it, just get your eyeballs on it. There's no sound on the video I saw. So it's just footage from that.
I mean, good for him. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations to that. And, Kevin, one of the things that I was going to talk about in the last segment, but I'm glad I saved it a little more, was the other day when Trey Wingo was on with us, we had that great conversation with him. But he brought up the best day thing. And I think I had my best day recently.
Oh?
And I think it was Monday. We went to Carter's football scrimmage.
Okay.
And my kids are now older. You know, they're all in middle school or high school. And I've never really had this experience before until now. But Adrian and I are sitting up in the stands with Lucy. We're watching Carter out on the field. And then I didn't expect it. Avery shows up to the game. He didn't come to the game to watch. He just showed up because he wanted to see us. And
that's nice.
As he was showing up, all of his friends' little brothers that are in eighth grade screamed his name and ran over to him. And he had this huge smile on his face. So, like, all this moment of being able to see my kid playing football, my other kid, you know, is walking up to see us, and then Lucy's right there. It was a great family moment that I really enjoyed. So
that's super
so
cool.
Far, that might be the best day for me. We'll see if we can add a few more to the list as we go along. But here is some sports conversation, Kevin, because the Raiders, who you know oh so well, had a hot mic incident.
Oh.
On their YouTube, which I think I'm pretty happy that our situation that Alec always has us covered, Alec and Carter always have us covered for these, because a Raiders reporter was caught hot mic'd at their press conference yesterday saying, quote, Gardner is going to get his ass kicked by Baltimore.
What?
And then some,
did he really?
He really did. And then Raiders report. Mitchell Wren said, they are talking S right now about Gardner Minshew on the Raiders hot mic. This is embarrassing. He said, someone tell the Raiders YouTube team they have a hot mic. And they were just going on and on about personal things about Zamir White, Luke Getsy, Devontae Adams, and more. No. And so it was caught on a hot mic. But the question is, was anybody else paying attention? You know, I know Raiders Nation is pretty strong out there, but was anybody really paying attention to that?
Wow.
So good luck to them trying to cover that. That never happens where a guy says something and it gets picked up like that, Nikki.
So I remember that investigation. Was it? Was he go? Or did he say, "Oh, please"?
Oh, please.
Yeah, yeah. I absolutely remember that. But then, what was it? A couple months ago, the WNBA presser like had a TV show on in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, "I'm."
What show
Angel
is
Reese
that?
Goes, "I'm sorry, what?" Which I thought was a very fair reaction.
And it was like Love Island or something like
something.
That. Also, hot mic situation, Kevin. Shiloh Sanders. The microphones picked up on Shiloh Sanders going out to the during the Nebraska game, walking out there, and multiple times telling the players during the coin flip, "We are about to roll your ass, boy. You know we about to roll you, bruh." And Kevin, I don't know if you saw, but it didn't quite go that way.
And he got hurt.
Yeah, and then Shiloh did get hurt. And he said, I think the quote is, "It felt like somebody else's hand because of where his hand is injured, and it's bad." But the Cornhuskers went on to roll 28-0 at halftime. And
That game was a destruction. We were at this place in Addison for one of Jess's friend's birthdays. Shout out to Melissa. Happy birthday. Called Putt Shack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a bar, but also we didn't get to play golf. It looked like it had the most badass miniature golf course in the world.
Yeah. Kevin, so here's the when you brought up the conversation about Saquon Barkley earlier. I'm glad we were able to have that discussion because I was scrolling through and looking at NFL.com and Maurice Jones-Drew had his RB index up.
Okay.
And
which I don't always agree with, but I appreciate it.
Right. And the question was, who's going to bounce back and stay hot? And then the top 15 running backs right now ranked. And for his for the bounce back running backs, he says, "I don't think Derrick Henry is actually going to be that bad for the rest of the season. It was a bad game against the Chiefs. They needed to catch up. They were trying to play along with what the Chiefs were doing offensively."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he also said that he thinks Jonathan Taylor is going to have an even better week too. So he's looking at that. He said Taylor entered the week averaging 135.2 rush yards per game with 8 touchdowns and 6 career contests against the Texans. But that wasn't the guy that you saw on Sunday. He thinks he's going to bounce back from that. Guys that he thinks going to stay hot, Saquon Barkley and Joe Mixon. That's where I wanted to stop here, Kevin.
Yeah.
Do you think that those two are going to be the best running back pickups for the teams that their respective teams this year, or do you think Derrick Henry rolls in as the better pickup?
I'm okay if I'm wrong on this. I still think Derrick Henry is going to be in that top two mix. I guess maybe just because I guess all those teams are probably going to be good. I think he will find his niche, and I think he will do it very well. But I understand Saquon and Mixon looked just unbelievable in week one.
The thing about those two running backs different than Derrick Henry is they are good receivers. Joe Mixon's a talented receiver out of the backfield. Saquon Barkley, like, he can catch stuff downfield just as well as he can catch stuff, you know, in the flats. And as a receiver, as that option, you become a much more dynamic offense. And those were two already really good offenses that's kind of what they were missing. With C.J. Stroud, his downfield stuff with his receivers was already there, and he knows he has a tight end that he can work with. But, you know, Damian Pierce was not up to what they wanted last year. And so I was interested to see how it play out in the first game. Joe Mixon goes nuts. That's where I'm a little concerned, too, with the Eagles this year is I was hoping that – and I'm not saying I'm hoping for it, but injury does become a thing with Saquon Barkley. It's typical.
Sure.
But, you know, didn't Christian McCaffrey have a lot of injury history before he got to San Francisco? And even with San Francisco, it hasn't been perfect.
I mean,
he's been rather –
He has,
okay.
But just think about how terrified, to your point, think about how terrified you are as a 49ers fan right now, where it feels like he missed game one kind of out of nowhere, and then there's already rumblings that he might miss game two, and you're like, oh crap, is this going to happen all season?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens with Saquon, then I think it's inevitable that you're going to be like, oh no.
And that kind of does flip me around to where the Cowboys are in this conversation, because in their offseason they said, we're going back to Ezekiel Elliott. But I also look at it and I go, the only thing that was really missing for Stroud was that running back. The only thing that was really missing for Jalen Hurts was that running back. the Cowboys still have, do you feel completely comfortable with their offense, or do you think it's CeeDee Lamb or bust?
I think that.
I mean, I think you can get by with Ferguson as your tight end and, you know, doing his work, but I don't think that he's a game breaker by any means. He's just what everybody would want their tight end to be. Everybody wants their tight end to be capable of doing all these other things, and then you have a guy like Travis Kelce who is a receiver at tight end, but that also knows the field so well.
And the reason why I know I'm not comfortable quite yet with the Cowboys offense is when you saw Jake Ferguson go down and we kind of feared the worst. I was like, oh crap, what's going to happen to our offense?
Yes.
And that's probably not what you should be feeling.
2 years ago in the playoffs, your only other real offensive option was Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt, and you saw what happened there. And so that's where I'm still uncertain about this offense. I know it's going to rely a lot on Dak Prescott, but where are the ways that you're going to get those game-breaking opportunities?
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks, I think this week, I really do, I think that Brandon Cooks is going to have a pretty good game. I think he's going to add another touchdown to the list. I think it's going to be a couple, maybe one deep pass that turns into that touchdown because of the way that the Saints play. But, man, their cornerbacks are also pretty sticky, too. So that's another factor that goes into it. It's just that Dak loves to see when a safety comes into the box.
Yeah.
And then he exposes their defense once he sees that. But with those guys, that was the thing that I was looking at. I don't know about Aaron Jones in Minnesota as a pickup also, because when I look at what he's done so far, good start for them. But is that team real, or did they play the Giants?
And
they exposed that just a little bit.
That's probably where I'm going to fall.
Really good question there. And then I have, so Kevin, I want to continue on with a couple of overreaction or reality questions. Passing attacks have been grounded.
I mean, I feel like we did this segment a couple days ago, right? Like, I agree with that. Yeah, remember?
Oh, okay.
Because we talked about passing yards, like, getting shorter and shorter. I definitely agree with that.
Deshaun Watson will continue to struggle for the rest of his career.
Okay. Oh, man, this is a good question. I was thinking about this. I know he was amazing before all this stuff happened. Like, he's really, really good. I don't ever think he's going to be a quality quarterback for a sustained period of time again. That's where I am. I think he's done.
The mental struggle is what
and there's something. I agree with the mental struggle. I still think there's something physical there as well. But like every time he thinks he can get away from it, like, oh yeah, maybe I'm healthy, I'm ready to go this season. Boom, another accusation. And
the one that we have today, I mean, there was breaking news, Kevin, earlier today that you broke. I appreciate that.
There's a video to be shown to go along with this. And it feels like he can't get away. Now, I'm not saying, oh, woe is him. Like, he brought this upon himself. But, yeah, I don't ever think for a sustained period of time, I'm not saying he can't have a good game here or there, but, like, for a sustained period of time, I don't think he'll ever be a really good quarterback again.
Rookie quarterbacks can't play.
Disagree.
You disagree? You think that this was just, hey, man, first week, let them get comfortable.
And look, if you're taking the component of Caleb, Bo, and Jaden Daniels, it looks rough.
It does.
It does.
Welcome to the NFL.
It does. But no, I'm not ready to say that.
Kirk Cousins doesn't look healthy.
He does not look healthy. Like, he looks wobbly out there more than usual. Because I know you brought this up, I don't know, like 4 years ago, and I hadn't really thought about it before, like how he kind of looks like he has a shaky constitution out there to begin with.
Yeah.
But now it looks like it's an actual physical issue as opposed to, I don't want to get hit. So I don't think he's healthy.
Yeah, if you don't want a shaky constitution, you want Nicolas Cage's constitution.
Yes. Or National Treasure 3 that we pitched out at the Reagan Museum. Yes.
And that's it for right now. We'll get to more of those tomorrow, Kevin.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Oh.
Well. I forgot we got Kyle Yeomans tomorrow during the C block.
Look at you trying to bump Kyle out of the picture. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which 0-1 NFL team should worry and which should? R-E-L-A-X. We'll do it next live from Shakerton's on 105.3 The Fan.
Back to throw, Watson on third down. Pressure up the middle of the line. Parsons has him now. Good coverage, because that was one where he was looking around.
Yeah.
And Parsons, who was close to play before, breaks through for his first sack.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington. Thank you very much to everyone who's already been out to see us. You can still come out here. We'll be here for about the next 40 minutes or so, but the deals keep going all day long. That pool table's been calling my name. Fun time at Shakerton's off of North Collins in Arlington. Now, I wanted to run this by you guys because I kind of broke down the list. As you probably figured out due to math, there are 16 0-1 teams in the NFL.
Okay.
Now, which one of these teams should worry and which one of them should relax, baby? All right. I'm going to go through the list one by one. Some of these I feel like will be fairly clear to you.
Okay.
The Baltimore Ravens.
They should relax.
I agree.
But they're not a perfect team. So
not at all.
When I say relax, I mean relax from being concerned about a winning season.
Sure.
But when it comes to do you want them to be at their best in the playoffs, they still have work to do to get to that point.
Does this show how really tight all sports are? That, like, let's say the shoe size was one size smaller and the Ravens converted the two-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Is the question we're asking today, are the Ravens the best team in the NFL?
Probably so.
That's what I think, too. And instead, here we are.
But
they're still a flawed team, I agree.
You're still probably arguing for the Chiefs how explosive their offense looks.
I get that. I do.
So, yeah, man, that, again, could not have asked for a better opening game for the NFL this year than what we saw on that Thursday night game.
Now, I believe this is reflected in my overreaction of reality. You should probably guess where I'm going with this. Should the Bengals worry or relax? I think they should worry.
I think they should relax.
Okay.
I think they have to become a tougher team. When Ted Wynn was on the other day, and he was like, "They're a finesse team."
Sure,
I think he's totally right about that, and they do need to toughen up. But their two stars are T. Higgins. I know Joe Burrow's their quarterback, but T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are their stars.
Did you see people freaking out because of the way he picked up his bottle on the sideline? They're like, "Is your hand or your wrist busted?"
He's like, "No, shut up."
Yeah.
And those two stars, I think, because of the uncertainty with them, It's causing the team a little disruption right now. But they need to toughen up and be better, and they need to make sure that their defense is ready to go, too. I mean, it looked pretty good against a bad New England Patriots team.
Fair.
But offense, at least. But they have a lot. They definitely have a lot of work to do. But I think they can relax.
What about the Indianapolis Colts? See, I put them, Corey, and you might think this is misinformed. I put them on the relax list because I guess my expectations are not as high,
uh-huh.
And I think it's going to be a slower process.
Okay, to continue to build on that
team. Yeah.
I think what's the other option? Relax or what?
Or worry.
Worry.
Or panic.
I would worry a little bit because you're in an arms race against that division getting out in front of you.
Yeah.
And Stroud is going to be out in front of you. Tennessee, I'm not sure I'll ever believe in Tennessee.
Sure.
But I don't really know what Jacksonville's going to be. So I think because of where they are and how close they are to – it's like the Mavericks a couple of years ago. They took advantage of their opportunity to get by and get to the Western Conference Finals. And I think that's where they are, is they have a chance, but they do have Houston in front of them. So I'd be a little concerned more about Houston than I am anything else. But you're right. I think you're dead on. They have a lot more building to do with that team.
Okay. Now, this next one I'm hoping will be easy. The Carolina Panthers.
What was the options again?
Panic or relax. Panic.
Relax.
The team's even worse than you thought it would be.
Yeah, relax. It's as bad as you thought it was going to be.
Okay.
And you're going to be number one overall pick again. Just make sure that your front office knows what they're doing.
Giants.
Panic.
That whole thing
might get dismantled. If I'm the Giants, if I'm their ownership right now, I'm looking at this going, man, my GM's awful. My coach hasn't been able to get the best out of this. Their quarterback is miserable, and we have signed him to a bunch of money. I would panic about everything right now, except for Malik Nabers. But you can't get the ball to Malik Nabers because your quarterback was the sixth pick in the NFL draft and loves to throw pick sixes.
That is a good point. All right. Relax, or R-E-L-A-X.
Stop looking at me like that when you're saying that.
I-W-I-L-L-N-O-T. The Atlanta Falcons.
Stop spelling words.
Okay. So that's just how you say that word. That's not my fault. The Atlanta Falcons. Panic or relax?
Relax, because Penix is there. And
stop saying it like that. And, that's not right.
Michael Penix.
That is incorrect.
He's there. Kirk Cousins doesn't look right. The Achilles is hard to recover from anyway.
Yeah.
As an older player, it's going to take more time. I mean, we saw it with Greg Ellis, too, way back in the day. It's going to take that time, and I think that they are going to turn to Penix a lot earlier than people suspected, because Kirk can't do what he was doing before with Minnesota, and that's going to be a struggle for them. But I would relax, because you actually have a quarterback in-house that can take over for that. And then the rest of the pieces, I think, are ready for it. They just need that quarterback.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Relax.
I think I'm there with you. But that's also because of my lowered expectations.
It's a struggle in that division.
They should have won that game, too.
Yes, and that's something that I would be a little concerned about, is why you didn't win that game. But also, you didn't work enough with your star receiver that you just drafted. So we haven't even seen what that can turn into. Maybe that could be something special and grow and explode. That could be something that could be, really be good for them. So I would relax and say, let's wait until we get this thing really going.
Okay.
But if you can't get it going, then panic.
The Denver Broncos. This was another one where I feel like Denver probably looks back at this game and thinks, we should have won that game.
Yeah, I'll say relax again, because it's a rookie quarterback. If it's going to be if you're out there with a rookie quarterback and he doesn't look great to start, then it's probably because he was a rookie quarterback. Work a little bit more. If he can't do it, though, if you start seeing this over and over and he's broken, then you got some problems. But I think Sean Payton's going to go back, sit down, calm him down a little bit, and say, look, man, congratulations. You've made it to the NFL. It's no longer the preseason. This is what we're going to need to do.
Right.
And I think it's really smart, too, because the defense on that team is fantastic. The Broncos' defense is very good. He's going to benefit from that. He's going to have more opportunities to get those, 11 to 10 wins.
Mike's team, and he's surely always listening, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, not to sound like a broken record, but this is a third team that had
panic.
A decent-sized lead in week one and lost.
Yeah, panic, because I don't believe in the team anyways. Peterson, since he had a good flash season, right? Just like he did with the Eagles. That good flash season and then couldn't
That's
get it all
true.
Back together. And I wonder how much of it is smoke and mirrors with those guys. But Trevor Lawrence has to prove that he can win those games more often than not, and they weren't able to. Now, again, it was a tough game against Miami. That was a tough one. But you got to come out of the victor on that one. So I would panic if I'm Jacksonville right now. Plus, they're already renaming their stadium.
Do you think? Yeah,
to Trevor Bank.
I hate it. Do you think Mike should also panic?
Yeah, he should sell every card.
All right. Okay,
every card is for 10%, 10 cents on the dollar. All the cards in his collection, not just Trevor Lawrence. Every card in his collection, 10 cents on the dollar.
I'm very sorry. Did I already ask you the Titans?
No. You don't care anyway, all right? So neither panic nor
fair.
Relax. Yeah, like
I should have put indifference as one of the categories. All right, I'll give you a couple indifferences. That's one of them.
Yeah, that's the one where I would go back with the Panthers and say, relax. You are what you know you are, and so you have some things that you're still trying to figure out, but you're in a weird rebuild with that team right now.
The Cleveland Browns
panic.
You got panic big time too, right?
Yeah, because you have so much invested in the quarterback financially for a long time, and the team is right there ready. They are ready, but the leadership in the locker room, I mean, you're not getting leadership out of Amari Cooper, I don't think. You see his body language. It tells you the story. And his body language on that field told me the other day, he once it went bad a little bit, he wasn't ready to make it go good.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. He's like, look, if everything's good, I'm going to benefit from it, and we're going to help out. But I think it's going to fall apart really quickly. And that defense, as good as it can be, it's not going to be able to hold up if their offense can't hold their end of the bargain.
Corey, by no means am I saying the Browns would cut Deshaun Watson, but this is just a fun factoid for you. If they cut Deshaun Watson after the year, do you know how much dead money they'd have to eat?
$90 million.
More.
$110 million.
More.
$150 million.
Believe it or not, more. $172.7 million.
Panic.
The next 2 years, assuming they don't give him a contract extension, because why would that happen? He counts each of the next 2 years. $72.9 million is a cap hit. And they've run out of room to redistribute that unless they extend him.
From the 469, Kevin, you mean you almost didn't remember the Titans?
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that was,
and now I feel very foolish for... Denzel tried to teach me. That's fair.
Yeah, I if I'm Cleveland, I'm panicking easy.
The Green Bay Packers.
Relax.
Okay.
Especially relax because you don't know what Malik Willis is going to be able to do. So just kind of guide yourself through whatever you have with him for the next few weeks. And then if Jordan Love doesn't look good after that, which I think he's going to look good. I still think he will. But if he doesn't look good after that, then I would start to panic. But right now, relax. You're in a tough spot.
All right. I only got four more for you. The Las Vegas Raiders.
Panic. You're a bad team. Devontae Adams is your team. That's it. Gardner Minshew's not a quarterback. Dude can throw. He can throw, but he's not a quarterback that's going to guide you to a championship by any means.
When one of the reporters is caught on the hot mic talking about how he's going to get his ass kicked this weekend, that's probably not a good
sign.
Yeah,
I mean, and the offensive line, everything's bad in there. Antonio Pierce has a bad job right now because he has to rebuild a franchise that has – continually falling over themselves.
Yeah.
So, by the way, from the 817, Kevin, you might want to text them back at some other point. This might be a dumb question, but how does guaranteed money help/hurt the cap space? I can't tell you that answer.
Yes.
Kevin can probably break that down for
you. Gotcha. The Rams. Now,
the Rams are
another team like the Ravens that you feel like if you win that game, whether it's in overtime or not against the Lions, you're having a totally different conversation today, right?
Yeah, I'm relaxing on them.
Okay. The New York Jets, I think they should big time worry.
Did Aaron Rodgers look terrible?
Not terrible, but he looked fine.
He looked normal.
He looked like a human. He looked like a human. He didn't look like normal Aaron Rodgers. And they got smoked by the 49ers. I know the 49ers are really good. Christian McCaffrey didn't play, and they got smoked.
Their head coach knows Salah's defense pretty well.
Fair.
And with Aaron Rodgers isn't able to keep pace with that offense, then they were going to struggle. Also, Kevin, we do consider the Niners one of the best teams in the NFL.
Absolutely.
So I will say relax. Let's see what happens this next week because I think they're still a good team, but they just tried out against the best team, one of the best teams.
Okay, I got you. And then last one for you. The Washington Commanders.
Panic.
Okay. I know they're breaking in, which is funny because you look like you could be a Washington Commanders coach right now. What with the shirt and khaki combination.
This is my Sagamore Spirit Rye shirt.
But I know they're breaking in their rookie quarterback, but they did give up 37 points. So they lost 37-20 to Tampa. Do you really think they should panic, or do you just want them to panic?
Don't panic on the quarterback.
Okay.
But
yeah,
panic on... As much as I love Dan Quinn, I still think there are some fundamental things about his coaching, his philosophy on coaching that I disagree with.
Okay.
So I would say that's what I'm still panicking about. But I do need to see Jaden Daniels connect with Terry McLaurin a lot more in this coming up.
Okay, gotcha. Now, I got one more quick thing for you. Alec, if you can go ahead and fire off cut number 10, I wanted to throw this out there.
McVenley, handoff Clark, launches, and hits a three! We are level!
Got a couple of WNBA notes for you. Asia Wilson just set the record last night for the most points in a WNBA season, and she still has, I believe, four games in the regular season to go. She's the reigning defensive player of the year, two-time league MVP. She's just an incredible player, setting a record right there. And then for Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark's a really good player. She's not Asia Wilson. Nobody in that league is. But we've been talking about her like business a lot more, right? So they put out a signature basketball for Caitlin Clark. It sold out in fewer than 40 minutes as part of their partnership with Wilson Sporting Goods. And one of the reps said, "We haven't done a deal of this magnitude since the one we did with Jordan like 30 or 40 years ago. We're talking about tens of thousands of basketballs that sold out in less than 40 minutes.
Good night, man.
That's pretty damn impressive.
So we need to figure out how to get a Caitlin Clark autographed basketball for Peace-a-thon, is what you're saying.
I'm on it.
All right.
That's a great idea. Caitlin Clark stuff right now is like white hot. So I will see if I can figure that out. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we continue to be live from Shakerton's, but we will also go and chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
First and 10 to a ton of Van Lola. Armstead the block, and he's going deep. He's caught Hill. Foot race. Driving. That is six. Oh, he's a ghost. 80-yard touchdown!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington. It's been a really fun day, and a couple of things happened over the break. We were talking with somebody who said they remember back to the first Peace-a-thon because they're on the late shift, and I was like, man, what a half-assed affair that was that brought a suggestion in a commercial break. And then we get a text on the Franklin Injury Attorney text line. I've saved up about $3,000 to $4,000 for Peace-a-thon this year.
Really?
That is awesome. I want to remind everybody, we take $0. Our expenses that we declare for this are zero. The amount of money we take from this is zero. Literally every single penny that we raise goes to My Possibilities. And anything we spend to make it happen comes out of our own pockets. So My Possibilities is a great place to check out any time of year. But we definitely appreciate folks rocking with us for Peace-a-thon.
Yeah, I just got a conversation with a business, too. Actually, a friend of mine did.
Ooh.
That they might be connected to Toyota and have an opportunity for you to race on their track.
Working
on that one right now.
Let's get that done right now. Man, that would be awesome. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome. Hey, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Now, Dawson, I have an important question for you.
Oh, no.
When we talked to Jared earlier today, his phone cut out twice. And when he called you last week, I'm assuming his phone cut out, and that's why your conversation ended. Why do you think Jared is struggling with his phone service?
You know, I don't know. You know, maybe he lives down, in a cul-de-sac that drops down. I know that happened to me when I used to live over by Sean, and I just had horrible cell phone service at the house, tried all kinds of stuff.
See, we're trying to help.
It's a positive answer right there. I appreciate that.
Corey doesn't think I'm trying to help with that question, but that's fine. All right, so we played the Tyreek Hill clip coming back. Do you guys have a good vibe or a good feel for Thursday Night Football tonight? Who you got? What are you looking forward to?
I'm rocking with Buffalo. Josh Allen is undefeated on Thursday Night Football. He usually plays very, very well against the Miami Dolphins as well.
He freaking owns them.
He does, man.
Isn't it two of like 1-5, 1-6 against them?
Yeah, the numbers are insane. So, yeah. I mean, I would tend to go with Buffalo in this game, but I was listening to Herb Street, who's getting ready to call this one. He was talking about the dew point. And I guess the dew point's a good indication for like how disgusting and muggy this thing's going to be. And it's like 77% dew point.
So that's a lot of dew.
Yeah, this
crappy.
Like the Bills are going to be tested. The North Buffalo coming to South. You know,
at least it's not a 1 o'clock game. They went through that one. time where they had that 1 o'clock game. Then they run 90 something plays. And yeah, still got beat.
The big advantage for the Dolphins for sure is those 1 o'clock kicks where their canopy shades their own home sideline, but the sun is just railing into the away team sideline right there. So they won't have quite the same advantage. I think it's about a coin flip. Josh Allen has had great success versus the Dolphins. The Achane stuff, no Mostert as well. So we'll see. I think Achane's going to play, but not sure exactly what level of him you will be getting. But I think it's going to be super high scoring, man. I'm surprised the Dolphins only scored 20 in week one.
Just pick Miami.
No, I think it's a coin flip game. I know you
hate Buffalo.
I just
you hate them.
He hates when you say circle the wagons all the time.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
But it's a Thursday night game at home. Miami's good. You know, Buffalo's lost players. I don't think they're Vegas is favoring Miami.
Yeah,
you know,
no, for sure. Favorite, you know, Miami should be the favorite.
Take the Bills to cover. And I hope it's a breakout game for my guy Jalen Wright if Achane doesn't play. Hmm. A running back.
I know. I'm wondering, is it going to be Jalen Wright? Will it be Jeff Wilson, UNT zone? You know, I love the hometown kid getting some touches there. He's a physical back. But and the Bills are going to be without their starting nickel corner, Teron Johnson, which is going to be huge.
Is this another game we're going to be jealous of the other team's running backs?
Yeah. Miami's got like six I'd like to have.
Gosh, I wish we had that third team running back they got there in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That guy would have 180 yards for us right now.
Hey, we could have had Frank Gore Jr., man.
Could have.
We've talked about this the past couple of days, and I know we've only seen it like play out with a new coordinator in one game, but what have you guys thought? What did you guys think about the Saints using a lot more pre-snap motion and play action in their offense?
I think I want their coach to be, the Cowboys' next head coach if Mike McCarthy doesn't work out after this year. You know, if you can't do this or if you can't recognize the importance and the advantage that you gain doing it, you don't deserve to be running a front office or be coaching in the NFL at this point.
It's interesting how much under center they play. And that's something that a lot of NFL teams don't do any in this day and age, but it gives their running back an advantage. Because they could take the ball back to him. They don't make him play sideways. So you get a downhill player with that kid, and you're going to have an all day have to deal with that. That could be tough. But, yeah, they made this guy a lot more comfortable playing football at quarterback, and that's the most important thing.
We haven't really talked about this too much because I know football has taken over, but Shohei Ohtani is on pace for 52 home runs, 53 stolen bases. He'd be the first 50-50 player in baseball history. Is that a quest that you're interested or following, or has the drop-off of the Rangers kind of killed some of that baseball momentum for y'all?
I didn't realize Ohtani was that fast.
Yeah,
thing. He's kind of thought about a long giraffe kind of running guy. I guess giraffes are fast too, right?
Probably 35 or so.
And they could kick you and it could be tough.
They'll neck whip you too.
Yeah, I kind of felt like...
I've seen that.
I was like going, man, how does Ohtani have so many steals? And then you watch him run and you're like, damn, this guy's pretty crafty and he's fast.
Because you watch all the games. And, Higgy, I'm the same way.
Yeah, I do. I got the Dodgers channel, by the way. I do. You know what? I think you have the Dodger channel, too, and you don't watch the games. That's a little bit, but...
Okay, yeah. Dawson, you know what else I do watch, though? When you brought up the neck attack, I have watched giraffe fight videos.
Yeah, we watch them.
They're crazy. Just look up giraffe fight videos. It's I'm not saying you encourage the culture of it, but it is crazy to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do it during the show, though, because you'll be very distracted throughout the show.
It's true.
It's already begun, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Yes. Eric Kendricks, Player Show 520.
Yes. Right. Looking forward to that. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. We've been live from Shakerton's in Arlington. Hope you guys have enjoyed. Remember, tomorrow, Buffalo Wild Wings in Irving. We got Cowboys Saints tickets to give away, courtesy of Miller Lite. Tons of fun swag and tons of great food. Come see us in Irving, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Savor responsibly, Kevin.
Savor responsibly. He's freaky. He's fast. He's strong.